Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we'll be looking at the title of our message today. In your bulletin, it says Sheep in Disguise. And as we were talking about this morning, and Sandy always makes my PowerPoint and does a great job, she said, isn't it the wolves that are in disguise? And I thought, you're right, Sandy, it is. It's the wolves that are in sheep clothing. And I was just thinking about people, you know, sheep or people that act and pretend like they're Christians. So I thought a better title would be, it wasn't that Nancy messed up, it was me that messed up, okay? But wolves in disguise, I want us to think about that this morning. Let's stand to our feet and we'll honor God's word and we'll read Matthew chapter 7, 15 through 20. Matthew 7, 15 through 20, the Word of God says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Father, for a few minutes I pray in Jesus' name, be glorified through your word. Touch our hearts right where you want it to be touched, and we'll give you the glory. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Chuck Swindoll tells a story. If you know, Chuck Swindoll is one of my favorite pastors or preachers, and he always has great illustrations. And he tells a story about a friend that ate dog food one evening. Let's think about that a minute. Here's his story. He said, it wasn't a fraternity, and no, it wasn't somebody that was a hobo that was starving. It was actually an elegant student reception at a physician's home in Miami. Listen to what he says. The dog food was served on delicate little crackers with a wedge of imported cheese, bacon chips, an olive, and a sliver of pimento on top. He said, that's right, friends and neighbors. It was hors d'oeuvres a la Alpo. Swindoll states the hostess was a first-class nut. Said, you got to know her to appreciate the story, but she had graduated from a gourmet cooking course, and so she decided it was time to put her skill to the ultimate test. And did she ever. Said, after doctoring up those miserable morsels and putting them on a couple of silver trays, with a sly grin, she watched them disappear. My friend, Chuck Swindoll says, my friend couldn't get enough. Said, he kept coming back for more and more. He said, I don't recall how they broke the news to him. He said, he probably bit her, though, after she did. But I want us to think about that story for a minute, because it's a perfect illustration of what goes on daily in the realm of religion. And that's where we're at in this scripture today, that many people, many charlatans, many people that call themselves pastors and preachers get up and they serve dog food in the disguise of God's word. You can turn on your TV, it don't take you long to figure out. Don't you love those that say, just send me $10 and God will bless you with $100. Just send me $100, he'll give you $1,000. Nowhere in God's word do we see these things. So I want us to think about this idea of the realm of religious fakes and counterfeit and Christians who've passed themselves off as tasty bites on silver platters. And we're at that place where Jesus, and if you remember with the narrow way, we finished speaking about the two gates and the narrow gate and the wide gate. And it's as if Jesus now is standing at those gates and those ways, and he's pleading. And it's almost as if he's saying, you know what, these false prophets that he's going to speak about are the ones, they're the ones that are standing outside these gates, and they're the ones that are trying to direct as many people as they can into the wide gate that leads to destruction. I tell you, as I studied this week, it's difficult, because I have to, here's the deal, the truth of the matter, anybody that preaches God's word, you need to ask, and we, or even live God's word, or say that we're Christians, we need to make sure that we are the real deal. Because as I study this, it's as if these false teachers, these false prophets don't even know that they are one. And we'll see that as we come out. The scripture tells us that in the last days, there are going to be many false teachers and prophets that rise up. As we get closer to the end, it's going to be something that happens more and more. And so we don't have to worry, though. God's going to give us a test. And He's going to show us how that we can see who's truly preaching the truth and who's not. Who's truly living the truth and who's not. Because before we're over, we'll see that this doesn't just apply to false prophet, but it applies to each and every one of us that profess and say that we're God's children. Let's look at some of the principles on how to distinguish the false prophet from the true prophet. I want us to first look at the look of a false prophet, verse 15, and it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing." First, and there's some questions as I read these scriptures, some questions that come to my mind. First, what's a prophet? What's he talking about when he says these false prophets? It's not someone, a prophet's not somebody that reads your palm or foretells the future and these things that we conjure up in our mind when we hear about those things, but it actually means in original language to speak the truth, or one who speaks the truth. One that speaks the truth, that's the prophet. In fact, we know in the Old Testament times that the way that it was applied, how do you know that a prophet was false or true? Is that what he said came true or not? And if it didn't, you know what they did? They stoned him. Tell you what, that shut up a lot of them today, wouldn't it, boy? Good old stoning. But he said, so this idea of what's a prophet, when I say prophet, little p, is that person who proclaims the truth. Jesus tells us that false prophets will be a part of our lives. He says, look, beware of false prophets. So false prophets are a part of our lives, and we need to understand that they will come. We don't need to just pull our wool over our eyes and say, oh, no, that doesn't happen. Yes, it does. The Word of God said it will happen. A false prophet does not speak the truth. And anybody that falsely speaks in God's name is a false prophet. That's what a prophet is. And then the next question is, what do they look like? It's a great question for us to ask this morning. What do they look like? Well, we cannot tell them by their appearance. In fact, it says they wear sheep's clothing. They don't look like a heathen or a heretic. Listen, it's easy to point out the devil if he came with pitchfork and red horns right in a red suit like we make the cartoon. It's easy to pick him out and say, there he is. But what happens when he comes as, ladies, as that good-looking guy all buffed out, telling you how good you're looking today? A gentleman, that beautiful woman, is saying, ooh, are you losing weight? Have you been working out? A little harder to point out then, isn't it? It's amazing how Satan says he masquerades as an angel of light. No, anyway. He knows what it is to look like the light. And we see the false prophets the same way. He knows how to masquerade. He knows how to fit in. You know what he knows? He knows how to say churchy words. He knows how to say Bible words. And it can very easy to confuse and say, well, oh, that sounds really good. They're deceptive. They're as deceptive as those ladies' hors d'oeuvres, dog food, made to look good. Appears to be perfectly okay, nice, pleasing, pleasant. Teaching in general is quite all right. Talks about Christ, the cross, the love of Christ. Those around you, you know what? We don't expect that anything's wrong. I want us to think about, as I was studying this, came to mind, remember Ted Bundy? Serial killer Ted Bundy, and several serial killers of the past, especially the ones that were made famous by the media, they would go, it never failed, after they caught that serial killer, and it's like everybody was so happy, they would go back and they'd interview the neighbors. You remember that? They'd go back and interview the people that lived beside them. You know what they'd say? I just can't believe that he'd do something like that. He was such a nice guy, such a good-looking guy. He liked kittens. I mean, it's all kind of whatever that made them think it. You know, hey, he was all right. He says, think about that same idea when we hear that about a false prophet in a wolf in sheep's clothing that we'll see. We can't tell them. Really, we can't distinguish them if we're not careful. They're indistinguishable between the real things.
capable to have eggs to be in them. Same as a false prophet. Listen, people say, he spoke. Think about this person. He spoke to the crowds. Look at what he's accomplished. He was charismatic. Everybody followed him. You know what I just described? Adolf Hitler. You can't go by the size of the crowd that he's drawing to say if he's a true man of God or not. I won't go there this morning. I won't go there. You look at the largest church in America, you'll see what I'm saying. Oh, Jesus loves you. I'm not going to talk to you about sin or death or the wrath of God or the cross of Christ and your sin and what it did to God and what it did to Christ and put him on that cross and he died in agony for you. I'm not going to talk to you about holiness and being set apart or righteousness. A false prophet's not going to do that. He's going to make you feel good about yourself. Oh, you can do it. You can do it. Just believe in yourself. I don't know about you, but Scripture tells me I have a deceitful heart. I've got to be very careful. That thing's wicked. Except for the grace of God, man, I'm capable of doing many, many things. Next is the heart of a false prophet. It's the look of a false prophet, the heart of a false prophet. Look at verse 15, because then it starts, we see the separation here. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You know what the difference is? It's his appetite. Think about this. Inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. Wolves are creatures with insatiable appetites. I got to go to Canada a couple times, deer hunting, back in, boy, it's been years ago, 20, 30 years ago. You could go without a guide, and we'd ride back at 14 miles back in the bush, and we'd hunt all day. You couldn't hunt past about 2 or 3 o'clock because it gets so cold. You had to come out, man. You'd freeze to death. We'd be ready in case we got lost. I had matches. I was going to light the woods on fire if I got lost and had all these things. But the thing that really intrigued me was the wolves that were there. They were wolves there. And so you always, listen, for the record, there's never been a wolf attack in North America. Never been anybody attacked by a wolf. We make them in these mythical creatures in Hollywood and all those things. But they always intrigued me because their tracks were all around. And I never failed. You'd come back, you might go out to get your lunch to eat, and right there at your four-wheeler when you rode so bad, there were wolf tracks all around your four-wheeler. He'd been checking things out. He'd been checking. You'd see your footprints that you walked in, that he walked in your footprints. And it told me something. He knew where I was, but I didn't know where he was at any time. And the thing about a wolf that we're scared of is he has an insatiable appetite. He's driven by his appetite. He has to kill to eat. A wolf is not defined by his evil intent, but by the power of his hunger. A wolf eats sheep because he's a wolf. Okay? That's his nature. He's ravenous. A false prophet does not think he's a false prophet, but his default is his hunger. It's his ego. It's his self. A true prophet of God, a person that cares about God, and he cares about God's people. The appetite of a false prophet cares nothing but about himself and ego, building his name. I love Paul said, you know what Paul said? I would rather lose my salvation for the salvation of my people. Grasp that. Did you ever say that? I'd rather be lost, Lord. I'd rather be lost that my family would know you as personal Savior. That's really a heart of God, ain't it? Really a heart of God. Listen, Bill Bright said, one of my heroes of the faith, Bill Bright said, kill me before I bring shame to your name, O Lord. He said, take me out, kill me. John Knox, great reformer, give me Scotland or I die. We see these men of God that had such a heart and a passion, and the false prophet is all about self and ego and not the glory of God, not uplifting God's people, but about building a name for himself. That's the heart. It's a ravenous wolf. Oh, he might look like a sheep on the outside, but the inside's a ravenous wolf. That's the heart of a false prophet. The fruit of a false prophet. Look at verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. And then he makes a statement. Do men gather grapes or from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? All the way from the rest to the end of this section, we hear fruit, fruit. We'll hear about fruit. And it's using, and it's talking about the life that we produce. The fruit, we understand about fruit up here in the mountain, right? We understand about apples. Those kind of things. You know what? An apple tree produces apples, don't it? It's an amazing thing. And he's saying here, listen, you will know them. We don't have to fear. We don't have to say, oh, how will we know? You will know them. He makes that statement. What comes out will be revealed. You will know them by their fruit. You know what he's saying? It's how, not just what they say, but how they live. It's revealed in their lives. A false prophet will not say anything about the truths to when it comes to holiness, being set apart, the justice and wrath of God. Oh, he might say these churches, these words that sound like that, but he loves to preach on the love of God. It's all about the love. They stay away from the doctrine of final judgment, of hell as the outcome of those who reject Jesus. You ain't going to hear false prophets say anything about hell. If there's a heaven, there's a hell. That's the reality of the Scripture. We want to think about heaven, but we don't want to think about hell and the loved ones and the people that don't know Christ will spend an eternity there separated from God. We don't want to think about those things. You know, people now, they always, oh, not politically correct to say such a thing. That's what the Word of God teaches us. Two ways, two people, lost or saved. One that's saved goes to heaven, the other one goes to hell that's lost. I don't know about you, but that, I don't want anybody to go to hell. That's the false prophet. Does it preach about those things? They don't preach about fallenness and the depravity of mankind. We talk about the great potential in man. We're fallen. We're depraved. We need a Savior. He doesn't preach about the vicarious substitution and atonement of Christ on the cross. He stood in the gap for you and me. He took our death. He took our shame. He took our pain. Substituted himself for your sin and my sin. You know, here's the deal. Sin's a sickness. It's a sickness. The greatest sickness of mankind. We need to reach people with the healing power of the gospel. This place, South Fort Baptist Church, should be a place that people come in and be healed. A healing place. Not only from their sin, where they can hear about the gospel and they can see people that are living the gospel, but also people have been hurt by others. It should be a place of healing. A place of great growth and love in Christ. Why? Because our world is full of sin and is sick. We need a place of solace for the downtrodden. We need a place that they can come, hear the Word of God, that are weary and hurt. They don't need a false gospel. They need, thus says the Word of God. That's what our world desperately needs. Well, next we see the source of a false prophet. Look at verses 17 and 18. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree good fruit. You know what the source? The source is a root. Nature expresses itself. What is the source? What's in the source expresses itself in the fruit. I love in John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he will do what? He will bear much fruit. He says, apart from me, what will you do? Nothing. It's the source, the root, that the fruit comes from. And if the root is bad, the fruit's going to be bad. That's very. I love Jesus when he uses illustrations. Look, it's 2016 years later. We can grasp this. We can grasp what he's saying. He didn't give us something so far over our head that we're scratching it wondering what is he talking about. But it's something so simple but yet so profound. Listen, we're royalty because we're children of the King. What the Scripture says, if you're a child of the King, you're royalty. We should have the aroma of Christ. Scripture, Paul talks about, we should smell like Christ. Where we go, everywhere we go, we saturate the place with the smell of Christ. the aroma of a life that's being lived out for Him. God's called us to that. That's a high calling. That representation, we're ambassadors of the gospel of Christ everywhere that we go. When we became Christians, we were invested with the Holy Spirit of God. He came to dwell within us. Our spirit witnesses with His spirit and testifies that we're children of God. You don't have to wonder, I sure hope I'm a Christian this morning. You can know. He says His spirit testifies with that. The Spirit of God testifies with His spirit that dwells within you. You don't have to scratch your head and wonder. You can know. And if you're one of them people, I sure hope so. If I talk about heaven, well, I sure hope I get there. Man, that's a slippery slope. You can know. Satan wants to keep you guessing, by the way. Even if you're a child of God, he don't want you to have the freedom in Christ to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. And the false preachers and the false prophets want to keep you guessing all the time. They want to feed you with garbage. And what does dog food do? It might fill you up, but once you learn what it is, you're not very happy, are you? That could probably gag you, wouldn't it? I always said I'll eat anything as long as it tastes good, and I don't know what it is. I don't know about dog food. Something for us to think about. Listen, guys, you should be like the Bereans in Acts. That's all of us. You know what it says? It said they scanned, they studied the Scriptures when Paul came to preach to them. They studied the Scriptures to make sure that he was teaching them the truth. Every Sunday, you should look at the Scriptures and you should make sure that the standard of God's Word is being lived out by the words of your pastor, whoever's standing behind this desk. That is your responsibility. And we should be like them Bereans that know. And if the Word of God ain't being preached, you send him right out that door. Okay? You don't need opinions. You don't need to feel good about ourselves. You know what? When we're living in Christ and we're we'll feel good about ourselves. Why? Because we'll find ourselves living, lining up with Christ. And that's the best feeling in the world. It's not having this positive mental attitude of myself that makes it right. It's having the understanding of Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and that He's my Lord. And you know what? No matter what comes my way, I'm heavenward bound, as the song said. Well, it'll get you through, my friend. That's the abundant life, the fulfilled life. And we have to be careful when we buy into that idea. The divine nature will produce good fruit in you. It will. If not, you're calling the Bible a liar. It will produce good fruit if the divine nature lives within you. Can't help it. It is the essence. A true Christian will exemplify God's Word. It'll exemplify. Listen, these Beatitudes, this Sermon on the Mount that we started out with, that'll be the divine character and nature of a Christian. It'll come forth. The man and woman that says that they love Jesus Christ will live those Beatitudes, will live this Sermon on the Mount, will live it out. Why? Because the divine nature lives within us. There's nothing good in there except Christ. But Christ will produce fruit. Because I want you to see, lastly, look at the end of the false prophet. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. You know, just like an orchard, if you had an apple orchard and you had trees and you were used to getting fruit from them and you had one tree there that you've pruned and worked on, but every year it produced sour apples or bad apples, how long would you put up with that tree? You wouldn't let it take up space very long, would you? Cut it down. Why? Plant you another one. Because the product is what you're after, the fruit that it produces. And we see this. We can understand this. It will not be allowed to take up space. It'll be cut down and thrown away. And the final end of the false prophet is hell. It'll be burned. Every person, listen, not just the prophet, not just the preacher, but every person that says, I love Christ, I'm a Christian, I'm a sheep, but does not have the Spirit of God, well, this is the end result. It's not a game. It's not something to play around with. It's not something for us to wink at and say, oh, no, and there be like, this is what the Word of God says. Cut down, thrown into the fire. you're lost, you're headed for hell and destruction and the fire of God and the judgment of God for eternity. That is not worth risking anything. I don't know what you may be holding on to this morning. It might be that you're saying, and you put all kinds of things into that hand. You'll say, I need to do it. Whatever's in that hand ain't nothing worth that. Well, I've been going to church a long time, and I really don't know if I'm a Christian or not. What will people think? What will people think about me? Listen, I care about what you think. I'm like anybody else. I want you to like me. I mean, let's be honest. We want to be appreciated. We want to be liked. But I want you to know something this morning. I want to be appreciated and approved unto God more than I do you, okay? And in the end, when I stand, I will not stand before you, but I will stand before a holy and righteous God, and I will give an account of the things that I have and the choices that I have to make. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's like the all sky under the earth. You make decisions that people don't like, and you do things, but one day I will stand before a holy God and I'll give an account for what I have done at being as your pastor. Just for the record, you'll stand before that same God. And you can hang on to whatever in your hand and say, you see, so many times we want to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and that just don't work. You know what you're at? You're over here. You're in the world. Why? Because you've chosen the things of the world. And the fruit proves out the root. And if God dwells in you and you can live that way and not be convicted and never feel bad about it or say, you know what, you got the Holy Spirit of God, guess what? You're lost and you don't even know it. You're like a false prophet. You just think you're doing the right thing and going through the motion. Your life plays out what you believe, my friend. And he says right here that every tree that doesn't bear good fruit, every will be thrown in the fire. No exception. Before you and the Lord this morning, I want you to know I love God and I love you. I want you to know something. Every person that's ever stood in this pulpit, this church, voted on. Can't blame anybody. It doesn't matter what's happened or who's come. Church puts the man in the pulpit. I hope and pray that God leaves me here for a long time. I do. Why? I like doing life and death with you, okay? It's a high privilege for me to walk through those valleys. It's a high privilege for me to stand on those mountains with you. But if I don't know what God's plan is, but don't you ever put anybody behind this desk that don't preach this, that doesn't take this word and feed it to you, and if he don't stand on this, send him right out the door. Like I said, don't let him ever get here. And it's your responsibility. If you're not careful, you'll just take whoever looks good and sounds good. Thus says the Word of God. And we can't take anything. We take it all on the chin because we're the ones that put this man behind the desk. I want to tell you something. As your pastor, I got to be very careful. You know why? Because God loves you. He loves you. He died for you. In fact, 1 Corinthians 3 says, you're the temple of God. You're the temple of God, Paul says. And he says, anybody who destroys the temple of God, God will destroy. Woo! We got to be very careful with how we treat one another. You know what he's saying? If I mess with you, God's going to squash me. Don't you mess with my children. We have to be very careful. We got to be careful. Love each other. You don't need my opinion. You don't need an agenda to be driving something. You need, thus says the Word of God, until He returns, or we all go to be with Him. We need to raise up. Look at the young people right here. Just here in this room. The high responsibility that we have, we need to raise up a generation of young people that grow into adults. Here's the deal. Let's go ahead and say it. That don't do it like we did it. Okay? Can we say that? That Don't do it just like we did it. Just go through the motions, but that we need to raise up that understands the power of God in their life. I want it to be so much greater, and their relationship to be so much greater than my relationship with God. I want them to grow, raise up to stand upon this word, that don't falter and waver back and forth. And what do we believe, and why do we believe it? Because they don't understand what thus says the word of God. We need to raise up a whole generation that loves Christ. We'll understand no matter what comes their way, even if it costs them their life. But you know what? The only way we raise them up is we teach them and we live that example. I'm afraid that our young people get so disenchanted with the church because there's no power. There's no real change. Mom and daddy goes home and they just live out life like the rest of the world and fussing and fighting and all tore to pieces over money and all these other things, and they don't see no real change in mom and dad. Why? Because I'm afraid the church does life like the world does. God help us. Help us to be people that are not wolves in sheep's clothing. How's your appetite? What is your appetite driven by? And he makes this, I love, we don't have to worry, oh Lord, how are we going to know? He says it again in verse 20, finishes up, therefore by their fruits you will know them. You know what Jesus is saying? I'm giving you a test if you've got the courage to use it. Just check out the fruit. Look at the life. Call it what it is. If it's sin, it's sin. Don't tap dance around it. But if it's God's, call it God's. Praise Him. Lift Him up. When we see people grow in grace and knowledge, we see people that are wandering away from the flock, we love them enough to go and get them. We care enough about them, like Jesus did, to go out and bring them back. Love them as Christ did. Given us the test for false prophets. So what about the test in our own lives? Is it your wool? Are you wearing your wool? Just a cover. Only that comes from individuals. I'll tell you, when we get to the end of this Sermon on the Mount, it gets real and it gets sticky. And boy, we have to all. You cannot leave here today if you're hearing God's word. You can't leave here today and not look inside and say, is it my wool? Am I really just a wolf? Got an appetite just to please myself. Got an appetite just to buy into what the world says success is. Is it your wool you're wearing? Maybe the fruit you're bearing. You know, we just had Christmas, and it seems like it was just yesterday. Oh, it's a couple months almost. We put that nice tree up there, a big old tree, and what we do, we put the ornaments on it, don't we? Decorate it. Where are those ornaments now? They're in a box back here somewhere, right, waiting on next year. Are you producing fruit or just an ornament? Then you buy the name. I mean, serious. Are we really producing fruit in our life, or is it just ornaments to look like something real, but it's not? We'll have some applications and we'll be done. I like that picture that you found there, standing that wolf standing there beside of it. A lot of wolves that look like sheep. I had to ask myself this week, I just want to be honest with you, when I studied this, Lord, am I a wolf? I did. Everybody in here needs to ask yourself that. As I studied this, I said, Lord, am I a person that, Lord, am I sure that I'm preaching your word? Am I that person that you've called? Am I just playing a game? That's what I want every person in this room to do. We need to know when we leave here that we're children of God and we're headed for heaven. And you know what? We're going to face hell by the inch because we're God's children. And we're going to go out here and we're going to live it. Yes, we're not perfect, but we're going to live by the standard of God's word, not by our opinions, not what we think, not how we feel. But what does God's word say, and we will not waver. We will stand on that until he takes us or we go to be with him or he comes back again. Three questions. Linda, come and play. Are you producing good fruit? Are you producing good fruit? What is the fruit of your life? We rolled a woman down here yesterday, Rena Goodman, the old guard. We're losing them. It used to be, that's how people lived. They didn't care. I've been with that woman many times that prayed for her kids, that cared about her community, that wept. I told the story yesterday, that wept about kids that she helped years ago, still had a heart and loved Jesus, that would have been here every time the door was open until her health failed. If church was not just something and a routine you go through to make you feel good about yourself, but she loved Jesus and she loved her church and she loved her community. And I said, one of these days you're going to be rolled down here. What are they going to say about you when you're laying here? Oh, he was a good, whatever your career was, is. Oh, he was good at hunting. He loved to hunt and whatever. That ain't going to matter. All that's going to matter is that he loved Jesus and he loved his church and he loved his community. What are they going to say about you? What kind of fruit are you producing? That's what's going to be said. Second question, are you sure that your source is the relationship with Christ? Do you know that that dwells within you? You're not just going through a mind knowledge and going through the routines and just going through the motions, but you know that Christ has entered your heart and that he's changed you. Not that you came down at a vacation Bible school when you was 12 years old or whatever and prayed this one prayer, but nothing ever changed in your life. That's lost. When Christ comes in and the source is there, then fruit will be born in your life and you'll know that Christ dwells within you. And lastly, well, we're really getting there. When was the last time you shared your faith? When was the last time you really cared enough about somebody, really loved them, that you saw them in a bad way and you said, let me tell you about my life, what Christ has done for me. When was the last time you shared your faith? God has called everybody in this room to share their faith. When was the last time you really shared your faith? Told somebody about Jesus and what he's done for you. Let's stand to our feet. Brittany's going to open us up in song. Moment that she sings, start singing. If you have something on your heart, if you're lost and you don't know that you have a relationship with Christ, you come forward. Today's the day of the salvation. Don't worry about what anybody's thinking. Oh, what will they think? Who cares? What does God think? That's the main thing. If you know that, hey, I've just got caught off and I'm producing the world's fruit. I'm caught up in doing the things of the world, and that means more to me really than the things of God. You come. Give it to God. You say, you know what? I just don't share my faith. I want to ask God to give me the courage just to tell somebody about Jesus. You come whenever she starts singing. Well, people are coming. What about you? You're lost. That heart's beating out of your chest right now, boy. It's because Satan's trying to talk you out of anything he can to keep you from coming. If you're lost, you know it. Come now. Don't reject the Lord. He'll reject you one day if you reject him. I promise you that. You'll end up in hell and you'll be saying, why didn't I just come forward? Why didn't I just give it to God? This is the last verse. You need to do business with God. I'm so glad that all of you are sharing your faith. That means a whole lot to me as a pastor. Thank you for being that.